Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the online worship service for the Canyon View Church of Christ. Today, we are continuing our lesson called Never Alone. The title of the lesson is this: He Lives in You. Now, I want to talk about our fears for a minute. Sometimes we don't want to think about the realities of life that we can't bear. It's just too hard to think about them. We just try to put things out of our minds, and we'll just say, I'll deal with it later, right? We all do that, I know. It's like the certainty of growing old or facing death or loss or the thought of being lonely. We don't want to think about those realities. It's like the reality of sickness and accidents. I mean, things do happen, terrible things sometimes, and we don't want to think about them. Like dealing with sin or temptations, the things that we do and that we are tempted to do, and we don't think about them as much as we should. We think about very little. We think about the stresses and adversities, the trials and tragedies that can happen. They haven't happened yet, but we can dwell on them. And so we just try to put it out of our mind. And I think the one, you know, spiritually speaking, probably the most important thing is that fact that we will all stand before God and give an account of our lives. We don't think about that as much as we should. It could be scary, or it makes us feel guilty, or it's just such a daunting thing to think about in our lives. Well, God does not want his people, his saved people, the disciples of his son, Jesus, to live like this. And there's no reason for us to live and think like this, to be fearful of all these things. And the reason is we are not alone. We are not alone. Well, in the 3 years of Jesus's ministry, his disciples walked with him every day. They argued with one another about things. They were often scared, but they preached, they healed, they were amazed at Jesus, and they themselves did amazing things. And the one thing we know is that they dearly loved Jesus. But the thing that they struggled with is that they didn't want to face the fact that Jesus was going to die and go away. They didn't want to be alone. Listen to what Matthew wrote about this. Matthew 16, 21 and 22. This is where Jesus explains to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Now just imagine that, rebuking the Son of God. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." Now, why did he do that? He loved Jesus, and he didn't want to lose him or be without him. So Jesus, whom we've already studied, is Emmanuel, God with us, right? Jesus, who is God in the flesh, who said he would never leave us nor forsake us, that Jesus was going to go away. He was going to die and go away. But he never, ever meant for his disciples to be alone, ever. We need to hold on to that promise. We need to think about that more than we do. So before Jesus died, on the night before he died, Jesus promised that his disciples would never be alone. Now listen to this. For this lesson to really work, an open Bible would be helpful. And I'm going to do a lot of Bible work today. We're going to start in John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Listen to the word of God. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. Verse 33 says, "My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, just as I told the Jews. So I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come." Verse 36, Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Now, what was the mood in that room that night? What would you think it would be? Somber? I think that would cover it. Awkward? Yeah, Jesus washing their feet. That was an awkward situation, wasn't it? But here's the thing. John was there, the one writing this narrative, right, that we're reading. John was there, and he wrote that they were all troubled. Troubled here. Troubled up here. They didn't like what was going on. They didn't want the reality to be put in their face the way it really was on that night in the upper room. In John 14 and verse 1, Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me." Now, just because Jesus says that or even commands that, it doesn't mean we're going to let all our troubles just fly away. It is hard for us, isn't it? Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me." So what did they need? They needed to trust God. They needed to trust Jesus, that they would not be left alone, that they would see Jesus again. So what about us? What about us? Do we trust God that much, that though we don't see him, we know he is with us? Do we trust Jesus that these promises that we read in John are for us as well? Have we been left all alone? Are we alone today? Well, Jesus promised his disciples that they would not have to be afraid or troubled. They would have peace. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was coming. The Holy Spirit was going to live with them and in them. Listen to what Jesus then said. John 14, verses 16 and 18. "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans." That's called a promise. That's a promise of the Son of God. John 14, 26 and 27 now. "The counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Well, folks, those words that he said to his disciples, his who became apostles, we have to keep one thing in mind. We are not apostles, but we certainly are disciples of Jesus. All of us in Christ, we are disciples of Jesus. And as disciples of Christ, we need the Holy Spirit, the counselor, just like Peter did, just like James did, just like John did, just like Paul did, and all the rest, even Judas Iscariot. The apostles, they were tasked by God, by Jesus himself. The apostles were tasked to preach and write to the disciples, just like you and me, what they saw and heard from Jesus. And they needed to know that the Lord was with them, that the Spirit and God was with them during all these hard times that were coming. Now listen to what John wrote to the Christians about 60 years after Jesus went away. Listen to 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. That which was from the beginning, talking about Jesus now, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands had touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, and we have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus made certain promises on the night that he was betrayed, the next day going to the cross. He made promises to the apostles that he would send the Holy Spirit to guide them into all the truth about Jesus, about what Jesus said, about what Jesus did, but also what Jesus promised, so they could teach this truth about Jesus even to us today. Back into John 17. Listen to what Jesus said. John 17, 20 and 21. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so the world may believe that you have sent me. So why this is important, folks, is that through believing and obeying the preaching and the teaching and the writing of the eyewitnesses of Jesus himself, the apostles, that we are saved by Christ and we receive the comfort and the counsel of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And Jesus kept this promise. We are never alone. Listen to what Paul wrote to the church in Rome. These Christians needed to know that they were not alone. Romans 8, 9, Paul writes, "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him." There's good news and bad news there. The good news is that if we are in Christ, if we are saved by Christ, if we've had our sins washed away and then filled with the Holy Spirit, we have the Lord with us and the Spirit with us forever. But if we do not, if we have not become a Christian, we do not have the Spirit. So we can have this wonderful blessing of God with us through his Holy Spirit in us. Now, the church in Corinth, they needed the same. These Christians needed the same information and the same encouragement. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Listen to what this says. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? And so the churches and the Christians, and during all this time, they needed to know that they had Christ, but they also had the Spirit of God in them, the Holy Spirit. So God has given those who are saved by his Son, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, it's used in all those ways, that God has given us this wonderful blessing so that we should never, ever be alone. He lives in us. And since he lives in us, folks, we are never alone. So my prayer for you is that you do become a Christian. It is so vital in your life for you to make Christ your Lord, to put your faith in him, to confess that he is the Son of God, and that you're a sinner needing to be saved. You need to have your sins washed away in baptism by obeying that that wonderful, simple command, and God will give you His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in your life. And when you have that, you and have Him in your life, you will never, ever be alone. May God bless you.